Male genital mutilation is very dangerous. And in the last 20, 30 years, many facts, because there are many pseudo facts in medicine, like in politics. You know, science is part of the political system. So there are many lies and pseudo facts in medicine, in the law, in philosophy, in religion. So I inherited, when I was a medical college, they told me male circumcision is beneficial, you know? And I believed it. And then, and even they told me female genital mutilation is good for the women because it prevents such diseases, etc., etc. And then they said male circumcision prevents cancer and then AIDS and then... And all these are lies, because science is affected by politics and by economics. We cannot separate between science and art and medicine and literature and politics and economics. So now, many, many medical associations are organizing and fighting against male circumcision in the United States, in Europe, everywhere. So I just wanted to say that, because I cannot be silent about these new facts. Children should not be cut whatsoever. A child is born complete, healthy, and we should not cut a child, a female or male. And I have seen a lot of complications, a lot of complications among boys. But I don't have the time to tell you about that. Many complications, medical, social, psychological, physical, everything, because of male circumcision. And of course, female genital mutilation is horrible, is more horrible. But also, male circumcision is horrible, if you know about the facts.
What kind of impact do you think the Arab Spring has had on women's rights in the Arab world?
Well, of course, the revolution in Egypt was great, the 2011, January 2011. It was a great revolution, like the Tunisian. In fact, Tunisia started the revolution just a few days before Egypt, and then we followed, and then the whole world followed, even in New York, even here in St. Paul. I was here in St. Paul after our revolution, and I went to the square. You had tents. There were tents exactly similar to the tents in Tahrir Square. And even some of the British men came to me and with a placard. They changed the name of St. Paul Square and they called it Tahrir Square. Anybody who saw that? I was there in St. Paul Square, and I was among the demonstration. And by coincidence, I was in New York also during the Occupy Wall Street movement. I was there, and I joined the demonstrations. So it's not only the Arab Spring, all the world. And now, while I'm talking to you, there are demonstrations in New York because of racism. And you know that the police is killing black people in the U.S. And there are many demonstrations all over the world. Because there is our... We live in one world. We do not live in three worlds. And we are dominated by one system, one civilization. It is the class, patriarchal, religious, racist civilization and system. Whether Jewish, Christian, Islamic, Buddhist, you know, religion is a servant to the political system. Religion, all the time, is a servant to the political system. And in fact, religion is a political ideology. So I do not separate between religion and politics and economics. Under Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, women are oppressed. And if you read the three holy books, monotheistic books, you find very similar in relation to oppression of women. So if I come to Arab Spring and to the Egyptian Revolution, I'm sorry to say it was aborted. Of course, the revolution has positive effects and negative effects. And this happened with all revolutions, even the French and the British and the American, because the revolution deconstructs the system. So it abolishes the old system, and the transit period between abolishing the old system and building a new system takes time, and sometimes years, decades. You are in this very, very shaky transit period. But it is positive. And we, as women, we gained a lot from the revolution. A lot. In spite of the fact that our revolution was hijacked by the Muslim Brothers, because they were supported by neo-colonial powers in US and in Europe and in the Gulf area. They supported the Islamic rule, and that's why Morsi came to power. It was not free elections, as people say here, that Morsi came because of free election. This is a big lie. No, the Muslim Brothers came to power in Egypt after the January Revolution because they were financed and supported by neo-colonial powers and by local powers who support neo-colonial powers, and by Arab regimes who support all that. So there was a backlash against women. And some of the very reactionary religious groups, like the Salafi, became prominent. Maybe you read about that. And some women are having the niqab, you know, not only the covering the head with the hijab, they have the niqab that cover all the face because of the Salafi groups. So we can say the effect of, I don't call it Arab Spring, I say Egyptian Revolution, Tunisian Revolution, you know, each country has its different revolution. I can say that we as women, we benefited a lot from the revolution, but because it was hijacked by internal and external powers, there was a backlash against women using religion, using Islam against women. This problem of virginity. Women were killed in Egypt if they don't bleed on the wedding night. And I was a doctor. And in fact, I thought, before I become a physician, a doctor, before I knew the fact, the new facts, because there was a lot of pseudo-facts in medicine about virginity, like female genital mutilation and male genital. All. Then, coincidentally, I started to read about the hymen. And then I discovered that 30% of girls, of women, do not bleed on the wedding night because of different types of hymens. And some girls are born without a hymen, or with an elastic hymen that never bleeds, or a fragile hymen that is broken by exercise, physical, riding horses or bicycling, many things. I was amazed. So I couldn't sleep. And then I decided to write. That's why my book, Woman and Sex, came during the 60s. And that's why I lost my job in 72, because I wrote against virginity, against killing girls and women because they do not bleed. And the society, religious people, even the medical profession was against me. Medical doctors were against me. And when I was fighting also against women, female circumcision, doctors were against me, and they said it's beneficial. When I started fighting against male circumcision, they told me it's beneficial. All the time like that.
when everyone else was doubting you, and you were writing against these practices that were so ingrained socially, religiously, culturally, did you ever doubt yourself? And maybe I was wondering if you could tell everyone a little bit about the importance of hope and your experience when you were sent to prison.
How can a woman like me go to prison, you know? It's nonsense. But this was under Sadat. And Sadat, we call it Sadat Reagan period. Sadat collaborated with Reagan and with the Americans to fragment Egypt by Islam. And that's why Sadat encouraged the Muslim brothers. They gained power under Sadat and then under Mubarak. And also he had this political economy. He opened the door, he called open door policy. He opened the door of Egypt to the American goods. And we stopped to have development. Our agricultural development stopped. Our industrial development industry stopped. Factories were closed down. We started to import our bread.
Hold it a bit closer.
We started to import our bread from America. We started to import full medemis. Maybe some Egyptian here who know full medemis. It is the cheap national food in Egypt. It's called full medemis, beans, black beans. It was the food of the poor. We started to import this food from California. And the gap between the rich increased under Sadat. And women started to be veiled. When I was a student in the medical college, during the 50s, there was not a single female student veiled. When my daughter was a university student under Sadat, 75% of girls were veiled. You see, the quick change in Egypt under Sadat. Amazing what happened. Sadat ruined the country. And then he was assassinated by the group he created. The son kills the father. He was assassinated by a Muslim brother whom he encouraged. Not me only, he put all opposition, because all the country opposed Sadat. Right wing, left wing, middle, anybody here who has a brain opposed Sadat. So he put all Egypt in prison, all of them. Of course, the leaders. There were more 1,561 person, men and women, in prison. Of course, there were only few women.
And what did you do while you were in prison?
I spent 3 months in prison until Sadat was assassinated. He was killed. That's why we were out. I had hope, intuition, exactly like my friend here. Okay, like my friend here who did not circumcise her boy and her girl, though just by intuition, feeling. Why should we cut a normal child? Common sense. Creativity is common sense. Creativity is common sense. And we lose our common sense by education. Our brain is ruined by education. For a woman like me, so active, to be in a cell and with my face to the wall, day and night for 3 months, what to do? I will be mad. So, we, the political prisoners, we were not allowed to have paper and pen. The jailer comes to me every day and tell me, if I find paper and pen in your cell, it's more dangerous than if I find a gun. But the prostitute cell next to us, they had everything. The prostitutes are not dangerous to the system. But we, the political women, we are dangerous. That's why they don't allow us to speak. And I noticed, I felt for the first time in my life how writing is powerful, how the pen is so powerful. So I decided that I should have paper and pen by any means. So the prostitute who used to come to our cell to bring us bread with the jailer, she helped the jailer. I told her, do you have paper and pen in your cell? She said, okay, I bring you. And next day she brought me toilet papers. We didn't have toilet papers in the political cell. Even toilet papers were dangerous. So she brought me rolls of toilet paper and her eyebrow pencil. And I for 3 months, I wrote my book, Memoirs from the Women Prison, for 3 months by this eyebrow pencil on toilet paper. But it saved my life, because this writing saved. If I sit like that, facing the wall, doing nothing, I could have been mad. But to write and occupy myself and be creative, this is happiness. Because when you are creative, you are happy. Because you are doing the word. Spirituality is very deceiving. It's like religion. And in fact, the oppression of women lie at the core of the split between the body and the spirit. And this is the problem of religion. Women were oppressed in all religions because of this split between the body and the spirit. And God became the spirit, and the man became image of God, and women we became bodies. Eve, the sinner, the body. So I don't believe in spirituality alone. The spirit is the body. The spirit is in the body. The mind in the body. You see? So there are some women, feminists, even feminists, who have organization called, under the called spirituality. And they are not religious. They say, we are not religious, but we are spiritual. But this is wrong. We need to be aware. No, I don't believe in afterlife. No, sorry. I don't believe in afterlife.
Are we all connected?
That I will go to paradise. Oh, I don't. I tell you something. When I studied religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, I went even to India, I read the Gita. I was very much interested in religions because as a woman, I was oppressed by religion. So I have to study them. I spent 10 years of my life studying religions. So after death, I discovered that all religions believe in that after we die, we'll go to paradise, something like paradise. And then I started to know, what is paradise? Women, what are our rights in paradise? Do you know? Let's be concrete, because it is very important for women to know. We are brainwashed all the time, and we do not develop awareness. And we have to study history, religions, in order to fight back, because we are oppressed till today by this question. Exactly. I was very much interested to know, when I die, and then go to paradise, what I'm going to have. And I wrote a story about that. Even the story was called, My Mother Has No Place in Paradise. Women have no place in paradise. Paradise is for men only, in all religions. So paradise is similar to earth, to life on earth. Very similar. And I can give you some examples. For instance, in Christianity and Islam, Judaism, paradise, you know, men will be rewarded, believers only, men who believed in God and were good with God, and they believed in God, they will go to paradise. And then they will find the virgins. You know, the virgins in paradise? Did you read about that? the virgins, Al-Hur. So one day I wrote a letter to one of the very big imam, sheikh, in Egypt. I told him there will be Hur virgins, young women, for the good men in paradise. So what about me as a woman? Will I have male Hur for me? And he wrote back, this was published in the newspaper. He said, no, you will have only your husband. You will have only your husband in paradise. So I answered back, I said, but my husband will be busy.
With his legends.
And then I wrote the story. And then I wrote the story that my mother went, my father died, and then it was imagination, and then my mother died after him, and she was looking for him, and then she found him with a queue of virgins waiting in front of his door. So she left paradise and went back to earth. So we have to study to understand. But we are afraid. I think women are afraid to be critical to what I am saying. You know, you have to know what's happening. The Muslim brothers, they have a very strong military wing. They are not a political party. The Muslim brothers, since they were established in 1928, you know, the beginning of the 20th century, the Muslim brothers were established. They were financed. They got a lot of money and weapons from Britain, from the British government. Because the plan of the British colonizers, since they invaded Egypt in 1882, was to divide Egypt by Islam, by religion. So they encouraged the establishment of the Muslim Brothers. And the Muslim Brothers took a lot of weapons and money. And they had a very strong military branch within their party. So when Morsi was kicked out by the revolution, supported by the army, the Muslim Brothers started to be terrorists in Egypt and to blow, to make fires. You read about
yes,
that?
Yes.
And they are still doing that in Egypt. Of course, there are prisoners everywhere. Of course, there are Muslim brothers who are in prison in Egypt because they were setting fire in many places. They were killing people. We have terrorism every day. You hear about terrorism. And in Sinai,
ISIS.
Because Hamas, no, not only ISIS. ISIS was financed and given weapons by the US. You know, Daesh, ISIS, Daesh. Who created Daesh? The US and Europe and all neocolonial powers. Because they do not lose hope. They want us to be colonized again. And we are fighting for our independence. So the point is, when you have terrorism here, when the trains were, I think you had some terrorist acts in Britain, and then the police put them in prison, of course. So when the police in Egypt find some people responsible for terrorism in Egypt, they put them in prison. And most of them belong to the Muslim Brothers. After Morsi was kicked out, I am not even agree that people being put in prison, even criminals, even I am against capital cutting the head. I am against putting people in prison because this is not the way to treat people like that, to kill them because they killed or to imprison them. We need a totally different way to correct the people who are whom we call criminals, as a doctor, as a psychiatrist. Now I am speaking. Because everybody who does a crime is a victim of another crime, you know. So we have to analyze that. So I'm not defending pushing people in prison or cutting their heads or anything. But what I am saying is the news coming from Egypt, the news that is propagated by the capitalist media in UK and in Europe and in the United States about Egypt and about the army and about that we had a coup d'etat, and that is, it's a military coup, not a revolution, and that many people are in prison, and that the Muslim brothers are tortured. This is the propaganda they use. Because why? I will end. They want Egypt to be fragmented like Syria. They want the army of Egypt to be divided like Syria. What happened in Sudan? They divided Sudan. You know why? Who divided Sudan?
The North. I mean, I think my government, the government, the North government.
Alone?
No, not alone.
Without any global...
Of course, with the support of the US.
And, yes. So we see Sudan was divided. And Egypt should be divided. But Egypt is a very unified country. The people are unified. I live among Christians, you know. I live among Christians. And no problem. We don't have any problem with Christians. This Christian-Muslim conflict is very foreign to us. It came to us with the British colonizers. So we have to be aware of that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.